comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And some of you are here for your very first time. Welcome aboard. The Kevin Smith Show is a nightly journey into the world of the strange and unexplained. I'll be your tour guide. And we talk about just about everything in the world of the strange and unexplained. We don't talk about politics, and we don't get into religious dogma and things like that. But if it's in the world of the strange and the unexplained, it's fair game, and we go after it. And we're going to be doing a bit of that this evening. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. He is the associate host of The Kevin Smith Show, and he will be joining us after the first break. And we've got some interesting stuff to talk about with him this evening. For those of you who are regular listeners, you listen all the time, you know that we publish the K-Files, and that's our free weekly newsletter. We've been publishing that since the year 2000 when this show began, way over in a place called Kosovo. And we've got subscribers that are with us now who subscribed way back then, so it must be pretty good. It's free, and there's no reason for you to be sitting in the dark. There's no genius in not getting the K-Files. And to get it is so easy. All you have to do is just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click on the word K-Files. It's right in the middle of your screen. You can't miss it. And subscribe. You'll get an email with a link in it for you to activate your subscription. Do that, and you're good to go. Also, those who have been with us for a while know that this show is 100% listener-supported. That means that when we take a break, if you're listening to our stream, now we have affiliate stations, and some of them play commercial spots when we go to break. But if you're listening to our stream, we don't play any commercial spots. And we don't play any commercial spots for some very good reasons. But that means we are 100% listener supported. And there are two ways to support this show. One way is to click that donate button and make a donation to the show to help us continue broadcasting. Another way is to become a member. Now, being a member is $7.50 a month. It's cheaper if you go quarterly, cheaper yet if you go annually. But for that paltry sum, at $7.50, that comes out to about 25 cents a day. So for 25 cents a day, you paid more than that for your lunch when you were in the second grade. For 25 cents a day, you support this show, help us to continue to be on the air night after night and bring you the fabulous kinds of information we bring you, and you get some cool stuff for that. For instance, you get access to our archives, the K-Pods. You get to watch the show live every night, and if you happen to miss watching it live, you can watch it for the next 24 hours after we do it live. All right, if you're not a member, click where it says join. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Jerry Wills. And Jerry is the associate host of this show. Sometimes Jerry does the show, and sometimes he does the show sitting in for me when I can't be at the mic. But it's always a real treat when Jerry does the show. And I always get lots of great comments in the emails and the feedback afterward. So we're delighted to have him back with us. Jerry was very, very involved with me right at the beginning of the fantastic story about Dr. Lazar Filipov in Bulgaria. Now, this was a couple of years ago. And Dr. Filipov made the statement, or at least was quoted in the press in Bulgaria, as saying that we are in contact with extraterrestrials. And one of the things that makes that so important is that Dr. Filipov is the number two guy in their version of NASA in the Space Research Institute of the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences. He is an astrophysicist, and he is just the, when you list his CV out, and it lists all of the papers, peer-reviewed papers that he has published. It's 12 pages. 12 pages. So this is a real scientific heavyweight. He said a couple of years ago, or was quoted in the media as saying, we are in contact with extraterrestrials. And right from the beginning, I called Jerry, and he got involved with this and actually became more involved with it than I was. Ending up in Jerry going to Bulgaria and interviewing on videotape Dr. Lazar Filipov. Now, the reason I'm saying all that is because we do have new listeners who will not be familiar with that story. And you should be. You should be familiar with it because it's on my YouTube channel. And you have the opportunity to go watch the special series I did on that, where I laid out very meticulously, some people say tediously, but I laid out all of the details and what happened and where it all led to. But we're delighted to have Jerry with us this evening. And, Jerry, welcome back on air at the Kevin Smith Show. And
hello,
I can
Kevin.
See you.
Thank you for having me back on. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, I started to say I could see you talking, but I wasn't getting audio, so... But it came in a little delayed, but that's cool as long as it comes in. Jerry, over the weekend, you had an event that you spoke at, and you, in addition to speaking at this event, you showed the videotape that I just referred to. Your interview with Dr. Lazar Filipov at the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences in Sofia, Bulgaria. So tell us a little bit about this event. Where was it? Who was it? And then we'll get into, you know, what the crowd had to say about it all.
Certainly. Well, it was held in Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah, that delay is really puzzling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's okay. We'll live with it. You can work it out later.
All right. It was at a place called Vision Quest in Scottsdale, and it was the MUFON group that meets there periodically, I think once a month. There was a very large crowd of people. We set up the projector and a sound system and showed the video. The room was packed. It was full. Once we, well, of course, I did a bit of an introduction to let everyone know what this was about. And afterwards, After the movie was finished, you know, everyone seemed to really enjoy it. And then there was, a lot of questions afterwards.
Okay, when you did the bit of introduction so they would all know what it's about, did you relate to them all of the story about how we were the very first Western media to get in touch with Dr. Filipov, and he was so anxious to be interviewed by us and gave us his private phone number so you could call him the next morning, and then he disappeared for 10 days. Did you go into all that?
Yeah, I did. I told him that I'd gotten information from you and that we put Kathy on it. Kathy's a great researcher, as most folks now know from all the things I've had to say. She came to me with a series of phone numbers. I gave him a call and had about a 30-minute conversation with him. And you're right. He was enthusiastic. He was just over the top enthusiastic. I to this day wish that I had recorded that conversation, because what he had to say was no small thing coming from a man of his position and his background. He said that they had offered 30 questions to be answered by the extraterrestrials, that they had been answered, and that they'd had a meeting with the extraterrestrials. He and the other members of the Bulgarian Science Academy, and that another meeting was scheduled to take place in the spring. And at that time, I asked him if it would be possible for you to have him, or for him to be on your show, if you would do this. And he was, of course, he was happy to do that. He also said that he would like to invite us as his guests to come to Bulgaria and be there in the spring to meet with and ask our own questions of these visitors. It was an amazing offer. And of course, as you recall, I gave you a call and told you all the details, including his private numbers. And then he just vanished. He dropped off the face of the earth as far as we were concerned. We tried calling him. You tried calling him first, because I'd already talked to him. And you told me that you had gotten classical music. The phone ring for briefly, and just a couple rings, and then there was a click in classical music. That's what happened also when I called him. It was just the same classical passage, no matter what number we called. So, after trying for about a week, I tried email, I tried phone calls, I'm sure you tried as well, and no contact at all. We didn't know what had happened. You had mentioned at that time that you really, really hope that the powers that be, whoever it is that would sequester such information, that they had not gotten to him, that they wouldn't get to him, that he would carry on and move forward with, you know, all of this. But as it turns out, it seems that he was sequestered away for a period of time, and when he resurfaced, his concept of what had happened and his delivery of those details was vastly different. He was no longer talking about contact with extraterrestrials. He was no longer talking about the great important message that he had for the people of Earth. Instead, he was saying that it didn't happen.
On the very day, the very first day when that appeared in the media, the very first article that appeared stated that there was a media presentation, this is a quote, a media presentation at which extraterrestrials were present, and that they had answered about 30.
That's what he told me.
Yeah, they had answered about 30 questions put to them by the scientists of the Bulgarian Academy of Science. Now, that was in the Bulgarian press. And I read it the day it was published. I read, as you know, Serbian, which is very, very close to Bulgarian. And I read, it's kind of like reading English and Old English. You got to work at Old English, but you can make out what it's saying, you know. So I read it, and then I checked it in an English translation, and the English translation said the same thing. Then I called you. After you talked with him and then called me back, you might remember, I don't know if it was you or if it was me, but one of us said, you know, I hope the powers that be don't shut him down. But I remember I said, we'll know in about 24 hours.
Yes, and that's exactly right. You had said you hope they don't get to him.
Yeah.
And shut him down, but we'll know within 24 hours, and we did.
In that 24 hours, I had lined up financing for us to go via a film company, a filmmaker, and by giving them the rights to the video, and they were very excited about this breaking story, and within 24 hours I was calling them back and telling them, looks like it's off. So it was very disappointing. However, after a couple of years, you got to go into Bulgaria and meet with him, and you spent over an hour videotaping him. And what's really interesting to me, and this is the film that you showed over the weekend. What's really interesting to me is how he starts off saying, you know, I want to make it clear, I have had no contact with extraterrestrials. And he kind of keeps punctuating that several times through there. But then he reaches a point where he becomes, you can see his face becomes thoughtful. And he says, you know, you've asked me if I've had any interesting visitors. And he describes it. He then describes his contact.
He does.
With these, quote, interesting visitors. And unusual things in that story that could not be done by you and me, like showing up at his door without security having stopped him, having stopped them. Mm-hmm. They walked out of his office after that first meeting and down the hall and just disappeared. Jerry, the most incredible thing is what he said when he said, we haven't had contact with them anymore, but I know their coordinates.
Yeah, you know, and I was paying particular attention to that, trying to glean a little bit more detail, body language or whatever, but it suddenly occurred to me that when he was talking about this, it's something that happened a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And neither you nor I think, really caught this in the video, because we were focusing more on what the story was as he was relating his experience. But he says it was a couple of years ago, and it was a couple of years ago that he said that he'd had this contact.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, as you just mentioned, he doesn't say, I know where they're at. He doesn't say, I know, you know, they live over there on, Bologna Street. He says, I know where they're at. I have their coordinates.
Yeah.
That's an odd thing to say.
Especially.
And I don't think anyone who was watching the video this weekend really caught that.
Yeah, it's odd, especially when you take into account that the Bulgarian word for address, if he wanted to say, I know their address, the Bulgarian word is address. In Bulgarian, it's address. A-D-R-E-S. That's how it's spelled. Mm-hmm. And so, even though he's speaking English in this film, It's not a case of him searching for the right English word, because it's the same. It's exactly the same word, address. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say that. He says, I know their coordinates. So I found that to be pretty interesting. Well, tell us a little bit more about this this whole meeting. You were sharing some stuff with me today about it. Share some of that with our audience.
It was fun. You know, there are some spots that Kathy and I created for you. It's been over a year or so back. Mm-hmm. These spots, I understand why you don't run them, because it's like the old price for membership and not the new price, so we'll have to fix that somehow. But in order to test the projector, I was trying to find a piece of video, and I thought, oh, this will be fun. So I played three of the spots that I'd created for you. And in those three spots, the first one was the spot we made at Morai in central Peru. The next one was the Inca Trail video that is right above the Sacred Valley outside of Cusco in Peru. And the third one was down by Lake Titicaca with Jeff Vance.
Yeah.
Which is just hysterical. And it had everybody just laughing. After all was said and done, I announced, okay, well, it seems the video system is working properly. The sound system is good. We'll get the movie started in just a moment. But it suddenly occurred to me that maybe you're not a member of the Kevin Smith Show. And I can't understand why that would be. It's really only about a quarter a day, and there's no reason for you not to be a member. If you like what you're seeing here today, then maybe you should take the time to become a member of the Kevin Smith Show, and you'll be able to see these commercials and others and really enjoy them. And if that wasn't good enough, you'll also have a chance to see the amazing guests that he has on his show. $7.50 a month, folks, and all you have to do is go to kevinsmithshow.com and sign up, and you won't miss a thing. And got a round of applause, and people were just laughing, and it was just a lot of fun. It was during the breaks. I stopped the video at 45 minutes. And
okay, we have to take a break, all right? So we'll pick up right there. You stopped the video at 45 minutes. We'll pick up right there. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jerry Wills. And Jerry, when the break took over, you were just about to tell us you paused the video, I think you said, at about, 45 minutes or an hour and 45 minutes or what?
It was about 45 minutes. It was at a real good point in the video. Pretty exciting. I'm sorry about the lighting. I'm having a hard time getting this.
Don't worry about that. Folks, here's the deal. Jerry's in the middle, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. He's in the middle of a big project, and the project is constructing and outfitting his mobile studio. And so Jerry's coming to us via Skype over a telephone. And so that's the deal here. And that accounts for some of the audio delay, but that's okay. All right, so you paused the video at 45 minutes, and what happened?
Well, it was at 45 minutes, and the folks had a chance to get up, stretch their legs. You know, the video is an hour and 40 minutes long, so they had a chance to get up, stretch their legs, and, you know, talk to each other. We gave about a 15-20 minute break. And it was during that break that a lot of folks came up to me and wanted to know more about the Kevin Smith Show. And I told them that I was the associate host, and I sat in for you once in a while. but that I could nowhere nearly manage to be as amazing as you are, but it still would be interesting if they happened to see me on there, because I try to have some interesting guests.
That $20 is in the mail to
writing
you.
Down. Yeah, thank you. I was waiting for that to show up, actually. I just saw it. anyway, they were very enthusiastic, and there was, you know, 12, 15 people standing around. They wanted to know all about the Kevin Smith Show, and they wanted to know what the content was and the subjects you covered and who are you. And Molly Fuller was there, and she was very vocal. She's a big supporter of you and the show.
Yeah.
And she was telling everyone about all sorts of things. That conversation kind of continued off and on the entire time that I was there. There were a few questions during the question and answer segment at the end of the video. And then we all went out to Denny's and had a bite to eat. And there was about 20 people there, roughly, I don't know, 15, 20. And it came up again, and it was a hot topic of conversation. Most of the people at the table, not all of them, but most of them, were very familiar with the show. So, you know, and everyone that was familiar with it, everyone had amazing things to say about it. So, folks, if you're just tuning in, and this is one of your first experiences with Kevin and this show, tune in more frequently. I think you'll be pretty amazed at the details that come forward.
One of the details, though, it was just a great time. Yeah, one of the details I want you to share is what you told me about when somebody brought up the story about when I mentioned the FU lizard.
Oh, mercy. Yeah, that was good. That was the dinner. Kathy could tell me probably in great, because she's the one that was in that conversation more than I was. Kat, about the FU lizard, come in here for a second, please. Yes, you're going to have to say hello to Kevin and the rest of the world. Come over here.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
So
she won't be able to hear you because I've got the Borg attachment.
Okay. Ask her to just relate the story about the when they were questioning about that I had told a story about the FU lizard, and let's just keep it at FU lizard.
Here, I'll give her the headset.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about, Molly and I were saying how interesting the show is and how humorous it can be sometimes. And, you come up with things that, no one would ever believe. But, I told him the story about how you, mentioned about this, lizard that has, the ability to say FU. And
yeah, it actually
sounds
it.
Like when he actually says it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just mimic it. It actually says it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, they didn't believe us. And so I said, Google it. There is a lizard that says that. And sure enough, everybody's on their phones going, and they're showing each other. It's true. It's true. Things on Kevin Smith's show is true.
Well, and that's the point I wanted to make with having you tell that story. I do tell things that I've seen and that I've experienced that sound to the ears in the United States like there's no way. But they're absolutely true. And if I tell you that I saw it or that I heard it, take it to the bank. It exists. And, I think that's great because they got it firsthand firsthand experience with something where they said, oh, it can't be true. They Googled it and found out, by golly, it is true.
Mm-hmm. And this one guy, the thing that he pulled up on the internet, it even had a little sound thing that you could hear what the lizard sounds like.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Chuck Kinney did.
Did it sound like...
So he was
like,
playing it.
And did it sound like what I said?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. My first experience with...
Huge roar.
Well, my first experience with one was in the jungle, and I was trying to sleep, and I was in what's called a Mazi dome. It's like a tent, but it's just made out of mosquito netting. And pitch dark. I mean, there was no light. And it was my first night there. And all of a sudden, something heavy fell on the top of the Mazi dome. And I grabbed my gun. And then this thing yelled, F you! At me. And I grabbed my flashlight and shined it up there. And it was one of those, he was big. He was, I don't know, probably 2 feet long. But he was one of those lizards. It's a type of a gecko. Yeah, it's a type of a gecko. And then when I moved into town, which was not a town, it's a big, big village, in my house, I had one that lived in the attic. And he would come out at night and they crawl on the ceiling. They hang on the ceiling upside down. And Kathy, my wife, came. She wanted to see where I lived and worked, and so she came to East Timor. And the very first night that she was there, I told her, look, this is rugged. Very first night. It's so hot, you just can't imagine. And then, you know, you can't go to sleep.
Oh, I've had.
And then finally, like probably 3 o'clock in the morning, we finally get to sleep because it's just so hot. And there's no electricity, so there's no fans. And been asleep maybe 10 minutes. All of a sudden, I feel her fingernails digging into my forearm, and she's sitting straight up, and I'm hearing the trail end of, I called him Fred. He had just screamed, F you! And she said, somebody in house. So I had to take her in and introduce her to Fred the lizard. So, but you're lucky, you know, if you have one of those, because
well,
I eat spiders.
Yeah, spiders and mosquitoes. And mm-hmm. When we lived in Moyobamba, when we were down in Peru, we had a couple geckos, and at first I saw them. I go, that thing's got to go. You know, I don't want that thing in the house. And Jerry goes, they eat spiders and you know, all the insects. And I go, okay, it can stay.
Yeah.
If it doesn't hurt me.
Yeah. So I didn't mind that. I was a little upset.
Our son was sleeping, and he was in the Amazon with us, and he was sleeping, and he woke up, and he looked up, and there was a gecko sitting on his chest, and he must have really surprised the gecko, because the gecko just, like, put his head up really fast and then jumped off and ran away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't mind having the lizard in the house, but I was a little upset one day when I came home, moved a suitcase, and there was a cobra behind it. That was a little upsetting.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't like that at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. One of us had to die, and as you see, I'm here talking, so. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well. Kathy,
I'll give the line back to Jerry.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for telling those folks about the story about the lizard.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
So let me say again to everyone that because of the technology involved here tonight, we do have a little bit of an audio delay with audio coming from Jerry's location. But I'm watching the screen, and I can see when his mouth begins to move, and then I just get quiet because I know there's sound coming, and it gets here. So, Jerry, maybe some of these folks are listening tonight, and hopefully some have joined and are watching tonight. But, folks, if you haven't yet joined and you would like to, and you would like to be able to see the shows each night, then just click where it says join, and then this show, even though you're not seeing it now, it's up for the next 24 hours after we finish with the show, so you'll be able to see it. So that's a pretty cool deal. So Jerry, let's go back to the meeting and the MUFON meeting there and the video with Dr. Filipov. Do you think that most of the folks caught the real weight and importance of what this guy was saying?
Yeah, they did. They, of course, when you see it for the first time, it's one of these situations where he's saying this and he's really meaning that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're watching and listening, he kind of weaves this story through what he has to say. He's being very careful. You know, as you recall, when he and I started speaking on camera, he picked up his phone, he dialed in some numbers, and pushed a button, set it down, and I'm certain that we were being listened to. The whole conversation was being monitored. So he was being really careful. Because of that, he was trying to tell us some things that were innuendo and suggestions. A way of saying something without saying something.
Yeah. However, when he told the story about the young people visiting him at his office, and then he ended by saying, "But I know their coordinates," he really got pretty much, that's pretty much out there in your face if you're paying attention. All right, we have to step away for a break, and we'll be back with Jerry right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jerry Wills. Jerry, what was the most heavyweight question, I guess, is a way to put it, that was asked, the one that sticks in your mind?
Well, let's see. There were a couple. one of the questions that folks had was if he was all right, if there had been any serious repercussions for him. And I told them that he seemed to be just fine when we saw him. He was in good spirits, good humor. He's a really nice guy. We enjoyed his company. And that since we've been there, we hadn't really heard from him, but that we figure that he's probably doing just fine. I'd seen a more recent interview on after we did our interview with him. Bulgarian TV did an interview with him as well, and he looked just as good as he was. So I suppose he's doing just fine. I don't have any way of knowing though.
Yeah,
those were the questions.
The Bulgarian TV interview, they asked him if there had been repercussions. If it's the same interview that I saw, and his answer was, well, you know, things kind of got a little tough and everything, but then after the article came out and I was listed as one of the men of the year, and, you know, there's all these famous people listed, he said they kind of eased up on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that was one of the questions that we had gotten from the audience. And another one was if we had heard anything about who might actually be. And, of course, we have no idea who they might be.
Okay, your audio broke up a little bit. Okay, your audio broke up just a little bit. They asked who might be? Who were they asking about?
They were asking, you know, who the extraterrestrials might be that had contacted him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to know that, too. But apparently they look like humans, the ones he described anyway.
Yeah, when he was talking to me that first time on the phone, he was just so enthusiastic and blown away. He says, they're here, they look just like us, they've been here for centuries. And we didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
So it must have been quite a thing.
I remember you telling me that first night that you had asked him, do you have evidence of this? And he said, yes, you come here and we'll show you. I'll show you what we've got.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's part of the reason why he invited us there the following spring. This was this event was taking place, I think, wasn't it like in November?
Yeah, I think so.
Like 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lachazar Filipov. I thought it was Lachazar. He pronounces it Lachazar. But the Lachazar Filipov story is truly fascinating. One of the really fascinating things to me, Jerry, is you know that when I did the series of shows about it and then what I put on YouTube, I focused on what was said in that first article. And I sent you, I don't know if you still have it, but I sent you back then in email that first article. And where it says that, it says that a media presentation was held at which the extraterrestrials were present and answered 30 questions put to them by the scientists from the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences. It says that in the article. Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing that?
Absolutely.
What's interesting to me,
I think that the room that we were, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I am thinking that the room that I did the interview in with him is the same room that he might have had that those meetings in. It was a large room, large table, lots of chairs.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me is that all of the negative email and attacks, really vicious attacks, that people have emailed me about this story, of course, they're in the minority. The vast majority have been very positive. But they all focused on that I made that up. And about, you know, the 30 questions and the, you know, the media presentation where extraterrestrials were there. They focus on that and they say I made it up. One guy has just hammered me. Trying to get me to admit that I lied. Well, look, you know, I didn't lie. That was in the press there. I still have copies of it, and it was in the press. But the thing is, Jerry, it was in that first report the next day. That exact same report came out, but they had taken that out of it. And that the one minus that is the one that just went all over the world, and everybody's saying, well, I saw the report and it's not in there. No, you didn't see the freaking report. I did. I saw it in Bulgarian, and I saw it in English. I'm sorry?
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Kevin. I was just saying I don't know for sure, but I think we might still have a copy of that because you sent that to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people, it's like the professional disinformation operatives and their lapdog, dumbass lackeys. They focus on that and they say that that's something I made up. I didn't make that up. That was published in the Sofia News. And, I read it both in Bulgarian.
Well, you know, for the folks that are, again, the delay has got us, what I was saying is that for the folks who don't believe it, I talked to him. I spoke with him and he told me it's about the same thing as in the newspaper and probably a lot more than was published. I don't think that they had anything in the newspaper about the fact that, they were coming back in spring and that, they looked just like us and they've been here for centuries, or what the main message was that he wanted to deliver to the people of this world. And sure, there's always people that's going to be doubting. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might even doubt me, but, that's fine. I know what I heard.
And yeah.
It was extraordinary.
The thing about it is that and what gets me keyed up about it, I don't care what they think about me or say about me. I really don't. Jerry, you know me. I do not care if somebody doesn't like me or they have negative. I don't care. I'm too busy living, and I don't care. What I do care about is that all of these what I call them, dumbass lackeys, that get on the internet and become experts, have following. And there are people who think, well, I saw that on the internet, it's got to be true. And, you know, and so they spread their venom and their lies, and it's disinformation. And it really upsets me that there are so many people who read that and believe it. Instead of, you know, doing their own homework and checking and verifying things, they just, it's on the internet, so it's got to be true. It's kind of like that story about there's a war going on with UFOs out in the Pacific. You know, there's a, that, what that is, that story is a great big thick layer of manure on the bottom of the Pacific. And there are people that are spreading the story and pumping hot gas under this layer of manure, and it's beginning to rise. And folks, I'm telling you, you stand close enough to the shoreline on that, and you're going to get lots of manure in your face when that thing explodes. That story is bogus. But there are people that are just spreading it everywhere. And why, you know, so-and-so said that, and he wouldn't lie. Well, I mean, the story's not
true. That's where you get into an issue, Kevin, where it's not about lying. It's about believing information that you are hoping that you can trust and finding out only the information that supports it because you want to believe it too.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here, and my sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that first hour. We're talking with Jerry Wills. He is the associate host of this show. He is also the executive producer at Expeditions TV, and this was this Philippoff Files film that he made was sort of a joint thing between the Kevin Smith Show and Expeditions TV. And he's been talking with us about his event over the weekend where he showed the Philippoff files to a MUFON group in, I believe you said it was Scottsdale, Arizona, right, Jerry?
Yes, that's right.
And I don't know what you did, but the delay has disappeared, or at least a lot of it has disappeared.
What we just did is we switched the system over to the new broadcast system that we bought for the Prairie Schooner.
Ah, cool. Well,
it just came in this weekend, and we Kathy's been helping. We quickly set it up and tapped it in to the phone. So we're still broadcasting on the phone, but now we're broadcasting through this rather interesting system that we bought, so we could do broadcasts out of the trailer.
Very good, thanks. Very good. We were talking about, when we went away for break, we were talking about that, you know, this story about this war out in the Pacific against UFOs. I have said that there's no evidence for this. All of the evidence says it's impossible. And, you know, I'm pretty hot about people promoting that story. People that in the UFO community have a following, and they've got people just keyed up about it. And, you know, and I'm telling you, folks, think about it. Ships that cannot run faster than 65 knots top speed are chasing UFOs out there that can go 10,000 miles an hour? Give me a break. One person said, well, yeah, but it's submarines. It's submarines doing it. The fastest submarine I have heard, I don't know if it's true, the fastest submarine on the planet goes 95 knots underwater. 95 knots against 10,000 miles an hour? Are you kidding? This is just nonsense. But you made a point, and that is it's not about people lying, it's about people believing something.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have talked about that a lot. I don't know really what you think about, because I've never asked you what you think about it, but my position is, in this stuff that we talk about, there's no room for belief. There's no cause for it. There's no need for it. It either, whatever we're talking about is either real, it either exists, or it doesn't. There's no room for belief in this. And it's either real or it's not. It's like a doorknob. You believe in doorknobs? You know, I mean, they either exist or they don't. And
well, that's true.
And these ships, you know, they're out there chasing UFOs and fighting UFOs that can go 10,000 miles an hour, come across the universe to get here, and our little missiles and our little weapons are going to do something to these UFOs? You got to be kidding.
Well, you know, you take a look at the recent Transformers. What was it? No, it was Battleship is what it was, the movie Battleship. It's interesting, the story came into the public awareness at about the same time as the movie did. So I just dismiss it. It's not to say there's not something going on out there, because, you know, we have information that there's some very strange things going on out there. Mm-hmm. But as far as the battle, I just don't buy that. I've heard that the U.S. and China, and they're working together to fight off UFOs. Why? The UFOs, why would they choose the middle of the Pacific? I don't know. There's just a...
Well, let me tell you what the U.S.
chemtrails.
Yeah, let me tell you what the U.S. and China did do together out there in the Pacific. Mm-hmm. They did do a joint operation. It was an anti-piracy exercise. And, you know, every nation on earth has an interest in anti-piracy. And so every nation that's got a navy does anti-piracy exercises, and there was a joint anti-piracy exercise with the U.S. Navy and the Chinese Navy. That's it. That's it. But anyway, let's move on. You mentioned you've got this new system.
Yes.
And folks, we'll open up the telephone lines in a little bit, and you can call in and talk to Jerry. Ask him anything you want to ask him, and it's up to him if he wants to answer. But you can call and ask, okay, or make a comment. Or you tell me I'm crazy about the UFO thing out there in the Pacific. That's okay, too. But I want to talk about this project you've got going on, because what we're looking at around you right now is not actually your house. It's temporary quarters for you.
Yeah. We're living right now in Jerome, Arizona, which is an old mining town. It's a fascinating place, and it's really beautiful here. We're up about 5,000 feet from our balcony. We look out, and you can see just down. It's like being in the Rockies and looking down on everything. It's a very small apartment. We went from about, 2,700 square feet down to probably 800 square feet. We have a friend here who has this apartment. This is her place, and she's letting us stay here for, it's probably going to end up being close to 2 months by the time all is said and done. But it puts us within 8 miles of this travel trailer that we bought in South Dakota. And it's a 35-foot prairie schooner, 1990. It has some work that needs to be done on it. We spent the past month, really, going through and renovating the rear end of the trailer because of water damage and rot. And we've rebuilt that. And now we're going to be building the broadcast portal where the dinette would be in the kitchen area. And, you know, a trailer's small. So we're miniaturizing and bringing into play a lot of more advanced technology than we've been. Instead of a mixer, we're integrating an iPad with a mixing console built into the iPad. And we have the big computers, a few very large computers, Apple Mac Pro towers, that are going to be built into walls. We have a wireless system that can pull a Wi-Fi signal from about 2 miles. And it's a T100 line, if anyone knows what that means. It's a very, very high-speed system. The backup to that, if there's no Wi-Fi available, is a thing called a jetpack that we've gotten from a place called Millennicom. The problem with these things is that they work really well, and that's what I'm broadcasting with now versus how it was the first hour. But they give you typically 5 gigabytes of bandwidth, which isn't very much. So with this one, we got it from Millennicom, and we have 20 gig of bandwidth, which is enough to do, you know, a few shows. So, you know, we've got miniaturized cameras, we've got miniaturized equipment, and it's all going to be built in so that wherever we are, we can broadcast and do a show. Once the trailer's finished, we will then become mobile, and we'll be going all over the place. And that's probably going to be the first of the year when that really takes off, because in December, if things remain on the current course that we're on, we're going to be going back down to Peru, back into the Tocachi Valley. Many of your listeners might recall that 12 years ago, Kathy and I discovered something there, and we didn't have video cameras. So we're going in fully light phone, the whole bit, and we're going to go get this story and bring it back for everyone. So after we return from Peru, then we will be then in this trailer and heading off to parts unknown. We're not really sure where we're going, but I'm sure this time of year it's probably going to be warmer climates. Our good friend, you know this fellow, Brent, up in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Brent's been, asking about us coming up there and giving us details about coming up. But it's going to be winter time, and we don't have the entire thing outfitted for severe to happen, Brent, until spring or summer. But we'll be making it up there, I'm sure. But that's the plan. And, you know, places like East City Ranch, I mean, you were talking about this on a show recently, this last week, I think.
Yeah.
We'll probably be going up to see James, James Gilliland, and just a whole range of places.
Have you ever met him?
No, but he and I have had conversations.
I've never met him, but he and I have had conversations. He's a heck of a nice guy.
He is, and he's a very generous person, very sincere, and he comes across, just like a person should, believable, and doesn't make any big deal about things, and doesn't seem to try to point you in a direction. He just says, come and figure this out for yourself,
yeah.
Which I like.
All right, let's open up the telephone lines. As a matter of fact, we already have a caller on hold. And the telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message option. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Joni from St. Louis.
Hi, Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Hi. Jerry, I wanted to ask a quick question. You announced in your newsletter a while back that you were going to go back to Peru. I was a little concerned. Is that the same area that was super dangerous and that you had some kind of, you wore some kind of medallion or something on your clothing that saved you from being attacked?
Yes.
Or shot at? Do you remember that?
Yeah, Kathy and I were issued a couple of small badges that we wore, like right here, over our heart. That's where we had to wear them. When we went in the first time, and we didn't really know why, we were just told we had to wear them. Well, this is an area that is, at the time, it was full of the Shining Path and narco traffickers. And for us to go in there, we had to have permission, which we got permission, apparently, because we got these badges. It was so the snipers wouldn't shoot us. No white person has ever gone in and come back out alive. Well, it was a rather arduous journey, but we went in, we came back out, and we found something. So about 10 days later, from Lima, we made our way all the way back there again, and we went back. We got about, probably 40 miles of the 85 miles we needed to go into a really, really difficult part of the jungle to hike through. Our guide came to us and said, you have to go back. We can't go any farther. So we went back to the first camp, where a few days later we were escorted out by the Peruvian Special Forces. Local TV station covered it, and it was, very strange. I had to walk like 5 miles with no shoes through the jungle because of the mud. It was unbelievable how much rain and how I would sink down to mid-calf. So anyway, we found out later that the reason why we were turned back is because there was, and I don't know this for a fact, but this is what I was told, there was a group of men that were going to rendezvous with us in this very dense and difficult part of the jungle, and they were going to kill us. We didn't have permission, you see, to go back in a second time. So it's been 12 years. We've been talking about this off and on the entire 12 years, wishing that we would go back in there, wishing we had a camera, wishing we had gotten video of this. It was extraordinary. So we have now made plans, and if everything works as it's supposed to, if all the pieces fall in place, then we're going to go back in December. The one mitigating factor at this point seems to be the weather. Their weather system, the patterns have been slightly ajar, you might say. There are tremendous rains and landslides covering villages and roads washed away. And we have a fellow that is going back and forth and going in there who's keeping track of what conditions are. Supposedly, in December, the conditions are about the same as they are in September, which means not a lot of rain. There's still some, but it isn't a lot. It's a rainforest, so you have to expect there would be some rain. If those weather conditions don't improve, then our plan will have to be to postpone it, because it would be really ridiculous to spend that much time and that much money to go back into this place when you are faced with a downpour of monumental proportions. Really, the rain is about the size of a grape, and there's no space between those drops, and it rains for days. And if this is what we're going to be facing, then we're going to have to push it forward, perhaps to a more drier time, which looks like May or June. And, well, we just have to wait and see. But yes, you're right, Joni. That is exactly the place that we talked about that was so dangerous.
Wow. Thank you, Jerry. I'm going to ask one more question and then get off the line.
Sure.
You started to say just a while, about 15 minutes ago, you were going to discuss, what was the reaction to the Filipov, movie that you showed at that, meeting?
Everyone seemed to really enjoy it. I had a lot of folks come up to me and tell me it was well done, that it was full of information. They had to think about what they had heard, because there was a lot of information, and that they had thoroughly enjoyed it, and they would watch it again. So, you know, I didn't get a complete cross-section, but everyone applauded, and they seemed to really enjoy the Sunday afternoon they spent with Kathy and I.
The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. During that call, we had another call that came in and gave up before I could put you on hold. Don't give up when you call. Hang in there and don't hang up, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi, Jerry. How's it going?
Great.
One comment I'd like to make, this is directed to Kevin. What I see the internet turning into is there's all kinds of ways to sequester people searching.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed that there's sites that are, you know, news sites, I guess you could call them, but they accept anything, and then they got forums, and then it draws audience in. So this kind of thing goes on all the time. So, I just wouldn't worry about it.
Let me tell you what I'm upset about. It's not the internet. What I'm upset about is people in the UFO community who have better brains than to believe that bilge. And some are promoting that story when it's demonstrably not true. They know better. That's what I'm upset about.
Well, you know, there's not much you can do about that level of mentality, really.
No, there isn't. Except I can rail about it on my show.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to, I'll just leave that one alone, mention is, Jerry was saying, and you were saying, that with Filipov, he described the ETs as pretty much looking like human.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring that up is I'm starting to think, for different reasons, that when I see ET, I'm thinking human, whether it's from far away or whether it's from another time dimension. I'm starting to think ET are us in one way or another.
That's a brilliant way of looking at it. I look at this the same way. My experiences have illustrated very clearly to me that, of course, there are other beings out there who look vastly different than we do. There are relatively no similarities, except they might be bipedal. But by and large, the ones that I have had contact with myself look very much like the people that you see around you. You couldn't tell them apart if they were dressed the same way, if they were, you know, walking in the mall or down the street. You wouldn't know. The only way you would know is you might suspect something's a little different about them. If you had a conversation, you would certainly feel that there was something different about them. But it would be a passing thing. You know, you're going this direction and you're walking and doing your thing and they pass and you don't even notice it. And that's how they want it. They don't want to be noticed. They don't want to be sticking out in a crowd.
Jerry and John, both of you, if you'll hang on, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this, folks.
Listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jerry Wills. And we were talking with John. Let me check and make sure. John, are you still with us?
Yeah, I still am.
Okay, let me get Jerry's mic back on, and you guys can continue your conversation. I had to cut you off because of the break. So, Jerry, you were... Okay, folks, just stand by a moment. Jerry's working with his equipment there.
Kathy was giving me some pointers here. There's a banging sound in the background. Jeff Bantz, thank you very much. Let me show you.
Okay.
This is right there. That is the heat for this place. It doesn't have a fan. It's just a propane thing that gets hotter than Dickens. And then it sounds like a horse and carriage driving by. So sorry about the noise.
Or it might be the people upstairs.
Or maybe it's the people upstairs.
Yeah, it might be. Okay, so you were saying to John that you know, most of the extraterrestrials are they look pretty much like us. You could pass them on the street and you'd never notice.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what my experience has been, and I've met a few. And it was qualified by them walking out of a UFO. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. They looked like us. I have had a sandwich with one years and years and years ago, of course. Had conversations with several of them. And it's surprising. They don't all look the same. They're like people. When I was in Cusco, Peru, with a group, back in 1995 or 96, there was a situation going on at that time where I had already been approached by this fellow. He called himself Rich. He said he was a Pleiadian. I don't know if he was, but he said he was. And he came out of a ship that looked like a
flying saucer. He brought his group of his people to a place called the Cuckoos in Cusco. I was playing music with a band called Caro Marca, a really good musical group, and I was playing bass with UFO at the time, and I had taken them some equipment to donate to them, and I was playing a show with them that night, and I invited Rich and his friends to show up. I didn't think they would. They did. And after that, Kathy had a chance to meet what we would call on this world an African-American. He wasn't African or American. She saw him vanish right in front of her eyes. And he was very helpful to us in a moment that we needed some help. So, you know, I mean, the people we've seen are varied and unique, just as people here are. And I think that John is right, that these folks, you know, we take a look at the people on the earth and we think, oh, well, this is the standard. It probably is. But it doesn't end here. There are people who look like people that are scattered among the stars. They're not any different than we are. They're just from a different place. They have a different philosophy and different abilities, perhaps. They have their own life and lifestyle. Their own background is vastly different than ours, but to the core, we are people, and the people here and the people from out there are so similar that it would be impossible to tell one from the other unless you did something in order to try and make that determination. And I think it would probably take, you know, a bit of scientific analysis in order to really come to terms with what the differences, the very discrete differences might be. But to see them, you wouldn't know that one is different from the other, or one of them and one of the people here in this world. You wouldn't find much differences at all. Philosophical, you know, perhaps. Religious, of course. But when it comes to just looking at them, they dress like us, you wouldn't know.
Jerry, I'm throwing in ideas like parallel world travel, like I've heard enough about that, and things along those natures. So, like, I'm starting to think that instead of ET, you've got a certain section of humanity that can travel around parallel world and maybe distance world, I don't really know. And so the whole thing really gets mixed up.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jerry's signal has just frozen. There you go, Jerry.
Yeah, my eye and all that psychic energy just went in. Sorry about that, Kevin.
So what do you think about that? You think it's just folks traveling in parallel worlds, or are they coming from other places in the universe?
You know, when it comes to this point of travel, the waves explain to me, going from point A to point B, entering into an area of, I don't know what you'd call it, you have dimension A here and dimension B here, and what's this area in the middle? There's no time or distance there, and that's where they go to get from point A to point B, as is explained to me. That would insinuate...
That kind of... confirms what I'm saying. It could be just as well, you know, those of us who can parallel world travel, that those of us who can't are looking at that, and maybe Jerry, when you're talking to a human-like person, they may be just from here doing a parallel world travel.
Yeah, and it very well could be. If I ever have another opportunity to have conversations with these people, such as the ones that Rich was a part of, I have a whole litany of questions that I plan on asking. And given that I've had these experiences in the past, I'm hoping that I have some in the future. One of the things that was related to me that I'd completely forgotten about was some information that Rich had given back in the mid-90s that to be aware of when Mount Popo compatible becomes quite active, that was a sign. And I'd completely forgotten about it. My friend Michael Higgins reminded me of that this evening. So I suspect there's going to be some kind of information that I'll be coming in contact with. I don't know if contact will ever occur again, but if it does, I have some questions. And if they're listening, which could very well be the case, then it's time that we had a talk, because there's information now that needs to be clarified.
Well, all smart ETs listen to this show.
Well, I agree.
John, thanks for the call, man.
All right.
Kevin, let me jump in here for a second and clarify something. When we were talking about the battle out in the ocean, I started to make a statement about the correlation of that and the thing about chemtrails.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be understood that I think chemtrails are as bogus as the thing out in the Pacific. I don't. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It is a deadly serious thing and something that I think requires a lot of understanding and study to really come to terms with what's going on. It's something that is important to the entire planet to understand what's going on. And in conversations with my friend Michael, I think that he might have hit upon exactly what's happening. And I think it would be a good subject to carry deeper and further another time, because it's quite vast, the information that he related to me and how we parlayed this information back and forth. Michael's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And he's come up with some really intriguing theories on this.
And he's a brilliant on-stage artist as well, with a guitar and voice.
Absolutely.
To the telephone, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Petersound.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the UFO war off the coast of California.
Yeah.
You know, it seems that about 80 to 85% of the stuff that you hear in this genre is complete nonsense. Most of it. Mm-hmm. That's about one story, but I think it's the tip of the iceberg in the amount of bogus information that's out there.
Yeah,
on a daily basis.
I would agree with you.
And another thing that Gordon Duff said was that there's a company in Germany that is paid a contract to hoax videos and post them on YouTube. He said there's thousands of them that this company does. And we have to sift through all this stuff. It just gets frustrating after a while.
Well, it does. But see, the thing to do is to turn the tables on them and make it frustrating for them. By saying, you know what, we're not stupid. We can think through this stuff, and this is crap. And call a spade a spade. It's just crap. And you know, I'm very, very sorry about the people that in the UFO community, big name people, who have been caught up in this. And I'm not going to crucify them. I'm just very, very disappointed and very sorry, because this is easy to figure out. A ship that travels 65 knots at best is not going to chase a UFO that can go 10,000 miles an hour. You can't do it. And, you know, if they did happen to somehow shoot a UFO, if they actually were able to, you know, have a missile hit a UFO or whatever they're using, you would see the entire West Coast go up in a wisp of smoke. I don't think these UFOs are going to put up with that.
But it's like the story of the boxes on the beach that people are saying, oh, these are alien boxes on the beach. Mm-hmm. They're saving humanity from total collapse. And I just found that whole story to be completely unbelievable. I mean, the guy who wrote that article just basically just ad-libbed the entire thing. I mean, why would an alien culture leave boxes out on the public beach? That doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, I would ask Jerry a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Going back to the Bulgarian story, you know, there was a rash of UFO sightings around that period, which I found very interesting in that region. I wonder if other governments in that area, like Turkey and other allies of Bulgaria, I wonder if we can get any more information about it from some people in those countries. Maybe there's other people that could corroborate the story. But Jerry, I can't wait till you come up here to Washington at East City. I'll probably meet you there. And I pretty much guarantee that we're going to see some sort of paranormal activity there, because it's very, very common there. So I'll look forward to seeing you then. And I didn't really have too much of a question. I just wanted to make a few statements, and I'll just re-up line.
Thanks. I appreciate the call. I have a comment. Ryan said, I wonder if any of the neighboring countries had any information. The answer to that is yes, they do. And I would suspect they have a lot of information. But let me tell you, one of the things that happened was in Romania. Romania is the next country over from Bulgaria. If you're moving from Macedonia to Bulgaria, you keep going, you get to Romania. And when we come back from this break, I'll tell you about what happened there. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. If you're going to call, you need to call now, because we're going to run out of time. 623-444-5889. And my guest is Jerry Wills. Jerry, as we went away for break, I said, I'll tell you what happened in Romania. One of the Romanian Air Force jets collided with a UFO. And you can see that. It's all in Romanian, so if you don't, I don't speak Romanian well. I speak a little bit. I understand more than I speak, but it's written. I mean, it's all, the audio is in Romanian, but you can watch it on YouTube. They show you the pilot, they interview the pilot, they show you the radar scope, all that stuff while it was happening, and he collided with a UFO, or UFO actually collided with him. And knocked the plexiglass, I guess it's plexiglass, cover off the cockpit, knocked it off, and damaged the airplane. And they show you the damaged airplane. So yeah, there's quite a bit of UFO activity in that area of the world. When I would visit, I used to own a place over in Romania, up in the northeast of Romania. And when I would leave Kosovo to go and visit my place over there, I would drive down into Macedonia, up to the Bulgarian border, and then across Bulgaria, get on a ferry, and go across the water, and boom, I was in Romania. So that part of the world I'm very familiar with. And they had a lot of UFO activity at the period of time when the Filipov story was just coming out. So, Jerry, and let me say again, if you're going to call, what are you waiting on? I'm not scolding you, but you're running out of time. 623-444-5889. Once we get into the last few minutes of the show, it'll be too close for me to answer the calls. Jerry, next big thing for you is in December, right?
Yeah, if all works as planned, as planned, rather.
Are you going to be able to broadcast live from down there in the Tecachi Valley?
Well, you know, probably. Not in the Tecachi Valley specifically, because we don't have a satellite uplink.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have a satellite phone, as far as I know, and we'll be able to call in and give you an update on the air, hopefully on the air anyway.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least we'll get some broadcasting out of there, and that's good. Let's take this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hello, Brent.
How you doing? Jerry, I may have missed this because I had to take off for a little bit during the towards the end of the first hour. Have you heard anything from Dr. Filipov?
No, nothing so far. I sent him an email. We got an email from him, but it's, you know, nothing of any consequence, really.
But he's doing okay, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's doing fine.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
All right.
By the way, June isn't too bad, but I would rather see you try to get up here in January. It's cold.
It's cold, I know. It's cold. It's crazy for me.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. So what's the deal, Jerry? You don't like cold weather?
Well, when I was dropped off here back, you know, 50, almost 60 years ago, I was left in an abandoned farmhouse in freezing temperatures, and I had frostbite over most of my body. When the Army Air Corps retrieved me and took me to Fort Knox, I was there for a while, recovering from that. It was frostbite all over my body. I healed very quickly still, and I apparently healed quite rapidly then. Really cold. It hurts. It's almost like, remember the Bionic Man and how when he got cold, his bionics just froze up and he couldn't really move?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that for me. It's just an odd thing. It's just an odd thing, and I've never been a fan of the cold. Growing up, I was in the cold and put up with the aches and, you know, the pain, because it hurts kind of like a toothache, only it's over your body. And so consequently, I'm not a real big fan of cold. I really like snow. I like the winter. It's so pretty. But I would much rather be in the Caribbean, sitting on a sandy beach, having a cup of coffee and a cigarette, than to be sitting in the cold and looking around and trying to find a warm place.
Well, I tell you what, in my former life, I was Mr. Freeze, because I absolutely love blizzards. I love really cold weather. And for me, being out in Phoenix all those years, I mean, I like, you know, the folks in Phoenix, don't get me wrong, I like the people there, and there's nothing wrong with Phoenix. It's the weather. And for me, it was just like living in the northern suburbs of hell. It was miserable.
It is miserable. For about 3 or 4 months of the year, you're right, it's like living right next to the gates of hell. They open it up every morning and let all the heat out, and then they leave it open until about 2 in the morning. They close it for 15 minutes, and it opens up again.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably hot, and it seems to be even hotter now than it was years ago.
Yeah. And you know, you go night after night after night after night where it never drops below 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And for those who are living where you are not using Fahrenheit, which is most of the world, think 38 degrees Celsius. And
54.
54
Celsius is how hot I've seen it here.
Yeah, it will get to that. It's just unbelievable. It gets so hot they had to close the airport once when I was living there because the tarmac was melting. They couldn't land planes on it.
When you get into your car and you put your hands in the steering wheel, once you've burned your hands getting into the car, you put your hands in the steering wheel and it burns again.
Yeah.
The seat is burning. It's just unbelievable. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it just seems to be a bit more uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's becoming more extreme.
We've been going to South America.
Yeah,
it just feels like it's awful.
Yeah, it's becoming more extreme out there. But I love the weather to be cold. I like it. I like snow. I like blizzards. I was one happy camper when I got off the bus in Mitrovica, Kosovo, because there was a blizzard on. There was ice all over the place. The wind was so strong you could not stand. It was blowing you backwards. You slide backwards on the ice. I loved it, absolutely loved it. And you know, and then I checked into the hotel, and no heat in the hotel at all. And you know, something like minus 22 degrees outside, and no heat in the hotel. It was fabulous. I loved it. And you know, I don't guess I'll ever see those times again. You know, my house though is in Thailand. And my house is in a place where it's never cold, ever. You have, it's hot all year, and you have the monsoon season, but you have hotter, and hottest are your seasons, and one of those is monsoon. That's the one where it's just hot. It's real hot. Jerry, thanks for being with us. Stay on the line with me. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this evening. That's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed the show. Those of you who were here for the first time, please come back again and again. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.